Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of 1 Peter as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Kyler Lanier taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
God can work through any problem and any situation we face. The problem is when we reject the conviction of the Holy Spirit and we deny His moving and we stunt our growth and our walk with Christ. And so many times we'll see that, well, maybe this individual's upset with this individual, or these people aren't getting along, or fussing or feuding. Well, it's my prayer. To my knowledge, I don't know of anything like that in our church, where this person's not going to talk to this person, or we just ain't going to get along, that kind of thing. And I praise God for it. That's a serious problem in a lot of churches across America. But even in the midst of those things, if we just keep our eyes on Jesus, He can work through it and overcome it. And here at the end of their lives, Paul, he's about to face execution. Peter, his death is coming very soon. And here they are gathered together in this epistle as far as of one mind. They're all together in the faith, accomplishing the work of Christ. And I think that it's just such an awesome thing to see in the life of these great heroes of our faith, that God used them, but to always remember they're just a man, just a man. So Peter, in chapter 1, verse 1, he says, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. That word strangers there is a mentality that we would do well to grasp and to cling to. It's that thought of sojourners. Literally, hey, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I think of that song, you know, I'm just a poor wayfaring stranger. This is the mentality that these people had, and you had to, so that you weren't tempted to cling to the things of the world. And you talk about the pleasures and all that were available to them. It was normal in the society in which they live for the world to indulge in all kinds of just unspeakable pleasures as a regular part of their life, things of immorality. It's just, he knew that they were strangers. And I wonder today if it was addressed, if we had a message addressed to us that way, to the strangers, how many of us, even in here today, us, would fall into that category of being the target recipient? To the strangers, not to the ones at home in this world, not to the followers of Christ in name, but to the strangers, the ones who don't belong here because they're not of the world. The Lord still has them in the world for a purpose, but they're not of the world anymore. The strangers, that should be us, strangers in this land. Look at verse number 2. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. I'd love to get through quite a bit of 1 Peter 1 this morning, but we may be stuck here for just a bit. And if we only get through the first two verses, that'll be all right. But this threw a lot of people for a loop. A lot of people avoid this word, elect. Because there's some other people that have taken this and they've run with it. I mean, way out there. And it's like the issue with the Holy Spirit. Good Baptist people scared to touch these things lest they be associated with the other groups out there that have literally perverted the truths of Scripture and present them in a way according to man's thinking and not according to the mind of Christ, which we have here. Papa always used to say, this is the mind of Christ reduced to writing, our Scripture, the Word of God. It's special to us. And so let's just take a moment just to look at that thought, elect, and what it means. And if this was a message, normally I would say, don't be scared of that word, and we'd continue on, because we'd have to get to the message. But here, when we're doing a little deeper Bible study, we can take the time to look into these things a little deeper. And we're going to check into this thought of the elect. And you're going to find out it's nothing scary. It's actually extremely reassuring and something that we can take comfort in, something that we can rejoice in. But we won't get ahead of ourselves. Let's take a look. First, you interpret Scripture with Scripture. So we ain't going to cherry pick a Bible verse and build a doctrine or a theology around it. We're going to see, well, what does Scripture say? And so firstly, a few hard, solid truths that cannot be compromised, denied, or ignored, we need to establish so we have the proper mindset going into this. First of all, where people jump off with this thought of the elect is that God has, before time, selected those who are going to be saved, and he has condemned those who will not be. He's basically, before the foundation of time, chosen. These people can be saved and these people cannot. And that's kind of where they take this elect. It's heresy. And the pastors talked about the issue of Calvinism another time, so we're not going to delve into anything like that. What we're going to look at is the flip side of it, what we're talking about here with the elect. Okay? So let's establish some truths. First, God's not willing that the elect should perish. He's not willing that any should perish, but that the elect should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Okay. How about John 3:16? For God so loved his elect. Who did he love? The world. That he gave his only begotten son. That who? Those foreordained before time? Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is available to all mankind. It is not up for debate. It is not up for dispute. It's the truth of Scripture. And to deny that is to deny the very nature of God, who sent his Son to die for all creation, who's willing that all should come to repentance, not willing that any should perish. But God respects our free will. We are allowed to make a choice. And God, who knew what you were going to look like before you were even thought about, God who knew what your parents were going to name you before your parents were even born, God who knew you from the beginning of time, knows what you're going to do in your life. You're not going to surprise him. He's all-knowing. And he uses this knowledge in a special way. So first we're establishing that we aren't some kind of special hand-picked people out of the world, and everyone else doesn't even have a choice. That is heresy. Every man and woman has a choice of what to do with Jesus Christ, to accept him or to reject him. Now God knows who's going to accept him. Is he not all-knowing? We can establish that through Scripture. So, what he's done is he's used that knowledge and he's crafted a special plan for you and your new life with Christ Jesus. Let's take a look at a few verses here. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Again, never losing the mentality that salvation is for all. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why would we waste time preaching the gospel to those to which cannot receive it? The gospel's for all, not just a select few or a privileged. It's for all.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Associate Pastor Kyler Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. And visit us online at westwoodmbc.org to hear more teachings like this. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly is our prayer.